When we talk about Jesus through his word, we honor him. Hallelujah. Today, with the help of the Lord, I want us to look at the book of Jonah, chapter 3 and verse 10. The book of Jonah, chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible says, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." Praise God. We are in the city of Nineveh in this message, and the title of this message is "The Fast That Shook Heaven." The fast that shook heaven. Praise God. Unfortunately, there are some fasts which do not even shake you or me. But there was a fast in the Bible. I believe it was the greatest fast in the Bible, even greater than the repentance in the days of John the Baptist, because that was not a real fast. I believe it was greater than even the fast in the book of Esther. The reason is because these were Jews. They knew God. But I call this the greatest fast that shook heaven, because we are talking about Nineveh, the most wicked city in the world at the time. How did such a thoroughly wicked nation declare such a powerful fast that shook the gates of heaven? We need to learn from the people of Nineveh. Sometimes, strangely, it may be the enemy, those who are not Christians, those who we look down upon, who may teach us the greatest doctrinal lessons of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a Roman soldier of whom Jesus said, the centurion, "I have not found such great faith." No, not in Israel. Imagine. An Italian was the greatest example of faith in the land of Israel. And I'm here to tell you today, the greatest nation in the pages of the Bible who repented were not the children of Israel. They were the Ninevites, the number one enemies of Israel. And this tells us something today, brothers and sisters. There's hope for everyone. Repentance is universal. Repentance does not belong to any nation. If it is done correctly, with humility, with sufficient heartbrokenness, it will shake the gates of heaven. Praise God. It goes straight to the throne of Jesus. And the Lord will put away judgment. The Lord will put away the evil that he planned to do against them, and the evil that he may have planned to do against us. Salvation will protect, repentance rather, will protect us from the anger of God. I don't want to experience the anger of God. This morning I woke up and I felt a need to go put my face on the carpet on the ground and just cry before Jesus and say, "Forgive me, repent, have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me. I'm nobody, I'm nothing. Hallelujah, I'm unworthy. Have mercy on me." That is all I did this morning. Ah, you know, sometimes you just wake up with a desire to cry. And I told Jesus, "You are holy. You are worthy. I know you are the God of righteousness. Everything about you is true. Have mercy on my soul." And I got up from there justified. I got up from there happy. Oh, praise God. Because I'm telling you, there is nothing like repentance, which touches the heart of Jesus. A repentance when nobody has to tell you repent. In Jesus' name, praise God. So let's talk about the children of Nineveh. You see, this was the most unlikely of revivals in the Bible. Let me tell you a little bit about the people of Nineveh. They had one of the most fearsome reputations of all ancient peoples. They were warriors in every sense of the word. And let me tell you, they were not noble warriors. They did not abide by a code of honor. They were brutal. They worshipped basically brutality. They were interested not in the respect of their enemies. They were interested in striking terror in the hearts of the enemies. So for instance, when the Ninevites would attack their enemies, they would take the heads of all the king and the noble people, and they would make a pyramid at the entrance of the city, a pyramid of the heads of all the elites, so that everyone would know the Ninevites were here. Do not put up a resistance against us, or you will meet the same fate. Think about it. A people who did not know the meaning of the word mercy. A people who laughed at weakness. These were the people to whom God sent the prophet Jonah. And once you understand about the cruelty of the Ninevites, perhaps you will understand better why Nineveh took the first ship to go somewhere else. He did not want these people to be forgiven. These were the enemies. These were evil people. God forbid, and I think no offense meant to our American friends, but with all due sensitivity, it's like after 9/11, God raising up an American prophet to go to Al-Qaeda, to go to the Taliban and say, repent, otherwise God will overthrow you. We would all understand if the American prophet would take a flight to Argentina or take a flight to Alaska or somewhere else, but he wouldn't want to go anywhere near the enemies who perpetrated such cruelty upon his or her people. We would fully understand this. So I'm giving you a modern day equivalent so you can understand what God was doing. It was too much for Jonah. He said, I'll basically go somewhere and sleep until God wipes them out. I have no interest in seeing these equivalent of Al-Qaeda be forgiven for their sins. No, no, no. You see why God says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Brothers and sisters, we should stop trying to make God in our image, and we should understand that we are made in the image of God. God does not think like we do. Your enemies are not God's enemies. Your friends may not be the friends of God. May the Lord help us to know who his friends are, who his enemies are. But I know one thing. He says in his word, love your enemies. Amen. He said in his word that he causes the sun to shine on the good and the bad. Praise God. So through Jesus, we can love everyone. Amen. We need to stop engaging in stereotypes and categories and taxonomies of people and understand that the one God made one human being in his image in the beginning. And through that one human being, we have 7-8 billion people in the world today. So whatever you say about these 7-8 billion people goes back to that one person whom God made. And you are saying something about the God who made all of these people. So help us, God, to be careful with how we treat our fellow human beings. Amen. So the book of Jonah contains this staggering revival, which I think many of us fail to fully comprehend and appreciate. This was a pagan, brutal Gentile city. And it was famous for its violence, its decadence. And so it was no wonder that just as the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah rose up to the throne of God, let me tell you, there are some people, there are some cities whose sins are so grievous in the eyes of God that God does not wait till they die. He does not wait till the day of judgment. He strikes while they still are going strong, so to speak, in their sins. So we know that God is a God who tolerates a lot of sin, but he has his limits. And his limit came with the city of Nineveh. It was so filthy, so corrupt. The city worshipped violence. The worst city worshipped evil. And God sent Jonah to go there and to declare only 8 words in Hebrew. Only 8 words, brothers and sisters. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was all. 8 words. Praise God. And let me tell you, those 8 words were enough to shake the city. Praise God. May God give us words that shake us. Sometimes we think I have to preach an entire sermon of 1 hour, 2 hours. I need a conference of 3 days for people to repent, and they still don't repent. But God sent Jonah with 8 words, brothers and sisters, and 120,000 people, together with their donkeys, together with their sheep, together with their horses, all repenting. Hallelujah. We don't need a big conference to have a repentance that can shake the gates of heaven. We need 8 words anointed by the Holy Ghost. 8 words which come clothed and carrying the name of John the Baptist in Jesus' name. We need 8 words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 8 words that come from the fire of the day of Pentecost in Jesus' name. We need 8 words, praise God, that come straight from the fire of Jesus, praise God. That is what we need. Hallelujah. There was a man called Jonathan Edwards in the USA during the days of the Great Revival. They said he fasted, he prayed the whole night. And when in the daytime he came near people, they would fall off their benches and start crying and repenting. It's not about how long we talk or witness to people. It's not about our programs. It's not about our conferences. It is about how sincere, broken, and full of the Holy Ghost we are, brothers and sisters. We don't even need to open our mouths sometimes. Praise God. Jesus told Peter to cast his net on the other side. That's all he said. And Peter said, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm a man of unclean lips." God have mercy. What is the true nature of repentance? Hallelujah. Firstly, the person who proclaims repentance must have himself or herself been judged by God. Say, God, judge me. Be my Daniel, my judge, my God. Jonah's message had power. Why? Because he had been judged by God. In Jesus' name. Sometimes the Lord has to throw us down into the depths of the sea. That means he himself had to repent. He himself had to be broken. It was a form of baptism in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He rose up from there, completely changed, even though the old character was still fighting with him. Let me tell you, he was not aware that because he himself had been judged by God, his words had power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have we been judged by God? Has he thrown us into the waters of baptism in Jesus' name? Has he given us a new character, a new spirit? Praise God. 8 words is sufficient. 8 words is sufficient in Jesus' name. May God give us a revival of repentance. May he give us, hallelujah, words, 8 words that can make 120,000 people repent. Hallelujah. So we need to understand this great revival of Nineveh. You see, it was really not the preacher in the sense of anything to do with his manipulation, his insights. Had nothing to do with his eloquence. It had nothing to do even with him liking the people. It had everything to do with being broken, being judged by God, as was the case with John the Baptist. John the Baptist lived as if he was constantly under judgment. He wore camel's hair. Why? Because in the Old Testament, a person repenting, who was broken, who didn't want God to judge him, would wear these kinds of clothes. Amen. Sackcloth, camel's hair. He did not eat dainty food, delicacies. He lived like a person whom God judged, whom God threw cast into the desert, like a person who was not fit to live in human company, decent human company. Why did he live this way? He did not feel himself worthy to introduce God to human beings. He constantly lived a life that said, "Who am I? I'm not worthy. I will not become arrogant. I will be under judgment." Oh, hallelujah. God bless the spirit of repentance. God bless the spirit of sackcloth and ashes. It had nothing to do with the preacher, but it had everything to do with one's own judgment. You see, Jonah knew that God will not judge him anymore because he has already gone through judgment. So now he knew that it's time now for the Ninevites to be judged. Although his attitude was not correct, but I'm telling you, he knew that he had been judged. May God judge us. You say to me, Brother Paul, what are you saying? God judge me? Yes. When you repented, when you were baptized in Jesus' name, you were crucified with Christ. It means you were judged. A person cannot be crucified until you did something wrong. Amen. Why was Jesus crucified? He did not do anything wrong. Because we did everything wrong. So we have all been judged. Say, I've been judged. And every day I'm judged by Jesus. Every day I must confess to Jesus. I told him today, all my sins. Lord, you know me. I don't need to say anything. This is not right. This is not right. This is not right. Forgive me, my God. Because if we judge ourselves every day, you have nothing to fear when you come before the judgment seat of Christ. May God help us to judge ourselves. Do not be nice to yourself in repentance. Because repentance is basically keeping you out of hellfire. And hellfire is not nice. So judge yourself. May God help us to judge ourselves. Love yourself, but love God more. Love Jesus more. Amen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. May God help us to be delivered from ourselves in Jesus' name. You know, somebody may say, yeah, you have this problem. It's not good. If you live long enough, you will know about these things. But you know what you should tell them? You don't have to live always with this problem. I have to live with myself every day. Amen. I have to live. You have to live with your problem every day. So you need to repent in Jesus' name. Praise God. We need to ask God to show us what is it that he does not like about us in Jesus' name. Show me, Lord. Don't lie to yourself. Tell the truth, amen. We Christians are Christians because we love the truth. I don't understand why people come to Jesus if they don't love the truth. The truth is brutal. I don't know why they care about their reputations anymore. Let's bury our reputation in Jesus. All we care about is to be like Jesus. Amen. Because only Jesus and his character will not be judged. Amen. So the more you become like Jesus, the further away judgment will go from you in Jesus. May people see nothing else but Jesus afterwards. Hallelujah. May God help us to give us insights into these things. And may he give you courage to do what you should do in Jesus' name. So, 8 words, say with me, 8 words were sufficient. But these 8 words came from the depths of the sea, brothers and sisters. They came from the depths of the sea. A man who was dead, basically, came back from the dead. There are no words more powerful than those who come back from the dead in Jesus' name. 3 days and three nights. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when a person speaks, you know where they're coming from. Praise God. Jesus said about John the Baptist, what did you go out in the desert for to see? In other words, he would not have that effect if he just came out of a palace, living in luxury. But the reason he had this impact was because the man lived under judgment for so many years, 30 years. That has power in Jesus. When I'm speaking to you now and I feel the power of God, you know why? Because just this morning, God judged me. Just this morning, hallelujah, I repented. So I'm speaking to you from that repentance, from that position. I'm not speaking from a position of being high and mighty. I didn't see angels. I didn't see miracles. I was in the at the bottom. Amen. I was in the depths. I came from the wilderness of Judea. Hallelujah. And I'm saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Praise God. May God have mercy on us. Praise God. Hallelujah. I would rather have a preacher at the pulpit wearing sackcloth and ashes and camel's hair than a preacher coming with the latest suit that costs thousands of dollars. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Lord, give us preachers with sackcloth and ashes in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The power was not in the presentation, but it was in the response. Hallelujah. The people of Nineveh, from the greatest to the least, embarked on a corporate fast that literally changed the mind of God. This was not a revival of feeling, but it was a revival of action in Jesus. We don't need feelings. We need action in Jesus' name. Praise God. They knew that time was up. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there are people today who are so sick of their sins that they themselves are hoping and praying that somebody will come to judge their sins. Hallelujah. Do not think that people in some of these drug dens, some of these, you know, dark, smoke-filled pubs who are depressed, don't think that many of them love their sins and they just enjoy rebelling. They are captives, Jesus said. And he came to set the captives free. But how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they know to be delivered without the deliverer? Hallelujah. But the Bible says the deliverer shall come from Zion. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. He came to set the captives free. He who calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Praise God. This is a promise of God. Call on the name of Jesus and you shall be set free. Hallelujah. We have to understand this was a truly unique revival, and we need to break it down, a revival of repentance, because basically we are talking about a people who perhaps were worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me tell you, even Sodom and Gomorrah did not inflict the kind of violence that Nineveh did on the neighboring nations. Nineveh was a world empire. Sodom and Gomorrah was just a local little power. They were not strong. Their sins were internal, but the sins of Nineveh were internal and external. They perfected the art of violence and evil like no other nation until then. Do you know that Nineveh was the only nation that God said he will overthrow the whole nation? Think about it. God never sent an apostle to tell Rome, your days are numbered, you're going to be wiped out. God never sent a prophet to Babylon to say, your days are numbered, Nebuchadnezzar, that he was going to overthrow them. And God, thank God, has not yet sent a prophet as of today to tell a nation, you will be wiped out. The only nation he did that to. Now, there was a time he sent a prophet to the whole world. His name was Noah. Repent, or he's going to wipe them out with a flood. And nobody repented, and God sent a flood. But that's the whole world. I'm speaking about one nation. So that tells you, brothers and sisters, how evil Nineveh was. That the only nation that God sent a prophet to wipe, to say your days are numbered, 40 days is, you know, with the world, God gave them 120 years. But God gave Nineveh 40 days. 40 days. An entire nation, a superpower. You can't compare Sodom and Gomorrah with Nineveh. You cannot. So truly, this was an evil nation. So evil that Jonah refuses to go there, disobeys God. Why? Not because he's afraid of them, because he hated them so much. Who knows? They may have killed somebody in his family. They used to travel all over the world, wiping people out, left and right, for fun. Jonah wanted to see their destruction. Why will a prophet of God fight with God? Why will he disobey God? Why will he be bitter against God? Because there was something about these people, something totally abominable about them. And yet, brothers and sisters, yet, God showed them mercy. Truly, there is hope for everyone. Truly, there is hope for everyone. This is why the greatest sign of mercy from the throne of heaven is repent. Repent is for everyone. Why will you die? Says a man. Why? When with God there is repentance, with God there is mercy. God's heart is so ready to forgive. Why do we test him? Why do we rebel against him? I told him this morning, you are my Abba. You are my Father. You are always my Father. Hallelujah. I have had no other Father. I said, no matter what, you are my Father. Whatever you do, you are good. I will love you. Only always forgive me. Hallelujah. Cleanse me. He said, did you do something bad? Listen, I'm telling you, if you ever think you are okay and you wait for some sin, you're in trouble. God will tell you when to repent. Never be righteous in your own eyes and say, I didn't do anything wrong. I could say to you, I don't remember I did anything wrong, but let me tell you, as long as you breathe, as long as you walk on this earth, through the process of osmosis, if you will, you will somehow feel contamination. You will feel, that's why God said to the priest, sanctify yourself. Amen. They had to wash themselves when they came into the temple. Doesn't matter whether they committed a sin or not. Sanctify yourself, praise God. This is our God. This is his way. Hallelujah. So let's go now to Nineveh. So here enters our friend Jonah. 40 days, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He did not expect anyone to hear him. He expected them to laugh at him. He even positioned himself outside the city because perhaps he felt they're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. But I can imagine the shock that Jonah experienced when he realized that his message had an immediate and profound effect, stunning effect. You know, he did not call for a committee meeting. The king did not call for a committee meeting. He didn't draft a theological position paper. Do you know who the real hero of the fast and repentance in Nineveh was? It was the king. He took the initiative. He arose from his throne. The very symbol of his power and identity. And he voluntarily exchanged his royal robes for the most abject symbol of humility, sackcloth and ashes. Oh, hallelujah. He put on the clothes that God cannot judge. Praise God. Let me repeat that. He put on the clothes that when God sees it, he cannot judge. Sackcloth and ashes. Let's read Jonah chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Jonah chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 says, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man, nor beast, nor herd, nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Somebody say, cry mightily unto God. It's not enough to put on sackcloth and ashes. It's not enough to come before the altar, brothers and sisters, and go on your knees. Sometimes I look at people at the altar, they're on their knees. They have adopted the posture of repentance, but nothing is coming out of their soul. This is not repentance. He said, cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Notice violence. I said in the beginning that this was a country that worshiped the cult of violence. Let me tell you today also, there are people who worship violence. If there are some young people listening to me, I beg you, do not worship violence. Put away those video games of violence. Shooting, murdering, blood. God hates it. In Jesus' name, do not look at it. Do not play those games. Let everyone turn away from his violence in Jesus. I do not understand how there are people in the USA calling themselves Christians and talking about bearing arms. It has nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing to do with the Bible. Do not falsify the words of God. He will judge you. He said, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. Jesus is above your constitution. He's above your bills of rights. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know who Jesus is. It's not enough to know his doctrine and say he's the Son of God, he's the Father, he's God, etc. And then to say that somehow Jesus blesses your weapon. Jesus has anointed no weapon. Jesus has never blessed a weapon. The word of God still says to turn the other cheek. Praise God. He is still the God who said, vengeance is mine. Praise God. I refuse until the day I die, I will not touch a weapon that is meant to kill another human being in Jesus' name. Because God did not send me as a preacher to take life, but to give life through the name of Jesus Christ, Calvary. To seek and to save that which was lost in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We will carry no knives. We will countenance no guns in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let us repent of violence. How can we talk about Nineveh and not talk about violence? It was for violence that God sent Jonah to pronounce judgment upon them. Listen, it's a different matter if you're a soldier, if you are defending your nation. I'm not speaking about that. Why will a civilian pick up a weapon? Load your weapon in your house. The Bible says he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. Check up the statistics of people who die from self-inflicted gun wounds. They end up shooting themselves. And when they get angry, they go and shoot people at their job or innocent school children. Let me tell you, as a Christian in Europe, I do not understand. No European understands this gun culture in the USA. We really, every time we hear about a new school shooting, some violence, I somehow want to say, thank God I don't live in that country. But I love the USA. We love this country, a great nation. All we can do is pray for them and say, you don't need to live in fear. Trust in Jesus. Put away your gun. All you need is Jesus. Praise God. Why didn't David pick up a sword? He knew a sling and small stones is enough for Goliath. His God is with him. God doesn't need your sword. He doesn't need your gun. He doesn't need your slings even. In Jesus' name. This is not part of my plan message, but God is speaking to someone. I get messages. I recently received a long message from a pastor in the USA. So there is some communication. So somebody is being impacted and they're listening to what we are saying from here. You know, sometimes in the madness of proximity, the people you're with, you all get confused and don't see. So some God has to send a prophet from somewhere else, perhaps, to talk and say, this is not from God in Jesus' name. And I'm saying, violence is not from God. He has never, in the name of Jesus, we can never condone violence. Praise God. Notice the comprehensive physical nature of this fast. It involved everyone. The king took the initiative. What a king. God bless the king. God save the king. And the king said, beginning with himself, that tells you how noble this king was. He was the first to perpetrate violence, but now he's the first to repent. He did not even meet Jonah. Think about it. He didn't ask for an audience with Jonah. Imagine if Pharaoh had obeyed the words of Moses without seeing Moses. How blessed Egypt would have been. Here's a king who obeyed a Hebrew prophet without meeting. Ah, hallelujah. Praise God. May God give us the heart of the king of Nineveh. Remember the Roman centurion who said, I don't need you to come under my roof, Jesus. Send the word and it's sufficient. Ah, praise God. Blessed is the person who hears the word of God, does not ask, who said it? Is it prophet Jeremiah? Or is it Isaiah? Or is it Ezekiel? Or is it pastor so-and-so? Is it bishop so-and-so? Is it the word of God? Does it testify to your spirit? Hallelujah. Do you feel this is from God? You know, sometimes I hear preaching, I don't want to know who it is. I just want to know if the Spirit of God is speaking through me. If the Spirit of God is speaking to me through the message. Hallelujah. Judge on the basis of the merit of the message, not the reputation of the preacher in Jesus' name. So the king did not even meet Jonah. He didn't ask, is it from God? Can we trust this man? Oh, he's a Hebrew. Of course he would say that. He's a liar. 10 times Moses came with a message to Pharaoh, and 10 times he did not believe God. Can you compare the two? But here's a king. We talk so much about Pharaoh. Maybe we need to talk more about the king of Nineveh. 8 words. One time, sufficient. Imagine if Pharaoh would have heard, let my people go, that they may worship me. And he would say, that is it. I repent for keeping you as slaves for 430 years. I will give you gold and silver. I'll give you everything. Bless me, Moses, and go. Pray for me and go. We would have remembered Pharaoh as a great man. The blessing of Egypt. Hallelujah. But today, the moment we hear the name Pharaoh, the term Pharaoh, I mean, I haven't heard anybody say anything good about Pharaoh because of the way he responded to the word of God. In the same way, brothers and sisters, your reputation and my reputation forever and ever will depend on how we respond to the word of God. Can we say amen? Can we say amen? What is the difference between Pharaoh? What is the difference between the Roman centurion? What is the difference between the king of Nineveh? How they responded to the word of God. How did you respond to the word of God? King Josiah, why are so many people still named after you? Because when I heard the word of God, I tore my royal robes. That is why he's a great king. We respect people according to how they respond to the word of God, how they treat the word of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And let me tell you, even countries are blessed or cursed according to how they treat the word of Jesus. Hear me. Houses, families, God will treat you. Your life should not be a surprise. It is how you treat the word of Jesus, I'm telling you. It's nothing else. If people tell me, oh, you are so smart, oh, you are so blessed, thank God that I responded to the word of God with humility. That is my blessing. And my curse will be if I do not treat the word of God with respect. If I neglect the word of God, God have mercy upon me. It all depends on the word of God. God told the tribe of Ephraim in the Old Testament. He said, I gave him my word. I sent him my word, but he treated it like nothing. God have mercy. But the king of Nineveh, he told everyone, the nobles, the citizens, even the animals, all were enlisted in this collective act of contrition in Jesus. Blessed are ye when you can collectively repent. Hallelujah. Amen. It is a good thing when we repent individually, but it's, I'm telling you, even greater when we can get many to repent together. Somebody says, why the animals? I say, why not the animals? In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 22, it says, creation itself groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Praise God. The creation has always been groaning, moaning because of us, because of our sins. Hallelujah. Do you love animals? You love the dogs and the cats? I hope you do. I find it strange when people mistreat animals. But I'm telling you, the best thing you can do for them is live for Jesus. Hallelujah. That's a strange message, but it's a beautiful message. If you want the animal world to be blessed, if you want the environment to be blessed, repent. Hallelujah. In the beginning, everything was blessed. We were not made to kill our animal friends and eat them. Every time you eat meat, I'm not going into Hinduism, but I'm telling you, the Hindus have a point there somehow, in the sense that do not think it's just natural. It was not so in the beginning. Remember what Jesus said? It was not so in the beginning. That means certain things God allowed, but it was not so in the beginning. In the beginning, we didn't eat flesh. Amen. I hope I'm not stepping on somebody's theology. Hallelujah. In the beginning, we were vegetarian, brothers and sisters. And I don't have a doctrinal scripture to give you, but something tells me when everything is restored in the 1,000 years and beyond, we will go back to, why are we going to eat flesh? Why are we going to kill blood, etc.? But of course, don't misunderstand me. God has blessed animals for us to eat. Yeah? So eat your meat with a good conscience. Go to your McDonald's with a good conscience and your KFCs or whatever you eat. But try to eat healthy in Jesus' name. This is the body, the temple of the Lord. But understand what I'm trying to say. So, because, you know, we need to talk about this. Have you ever come across a place in the Bible where animals were also forced to repent or to fast? This is the only time in the Bible. Think about it. I mean, animals have probably been put on a fast before, but not for God, not for repentance. I'm sure the animals didn't understand what's going on. Hey, I'm hungry. But they looked around and realized nobody's eating today. No food in Nineveh. And their owners were crying and were behaving strangely. I'm telling you, even the animals understood something was going on. Praise God. The only place in the Bible. It's unique. A complete and total submission to the God of Israel. Hallelujah. What an amazing sight. I'm sure angels came down to Nineveh to behold this amazing sight. If ever there was a time for some hours or maybe a few days where one nation did not sin against God, it was Nineveh, a pagan nation. All you would hear was a whole nation crying. How does it sound? I wish somebody could have recorded 120,000 people crying. Oh, hallelujah. 120,000 people crying, moaning on their knees, the most powerful, cruel nation on the face of the earth. Defeated by who? By the God of heaven. Oh, praise God. Take me to that country. Let me be part of that repentance. Ah, hallelujah. Oh, God is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. We live in a world today where people want to go where there is sin. We want to go where there is the sound of repentance, the sound of submission to the God of heaven. In Jerusalem for a few days, 3,000 people imitated Nineveh. Nineveh became the standard bearer. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, the people of Nineveh knew it cost something to repent. Amen. You have to leave the throne of your life. Amen. We have to change our posture, our habits, our comforts. The Ninevites understood that to move the heart of God, the body must be involved. Amen. To move the heart of God, the body must be involved. Praise God. You can't say I'm repenting and your body is in the same place. They knew that sin is not just an idea. It is a power that inhabits our physical members. Therefore, repentance must be equally physical. It must be a deliberate act of denying the flesh to awaken the spirit. Praise God. True repentance engages the physical world in its moaning, understanding that our bodies are the primary instruments through which sin is committed and through which holiness must be demonstrated in Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm certain the people of Nineveh operated with a brutal logic. When they heard the 8 words, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, they did not interpret it to say, if you repent. See, Jonah only gave them one option, one message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be. He didn't say, if you repent, then your city will not be overthrown. Your country will not be overthrown. He didn't say that. Are you with me? And do you see what I'm trying to say? Jonah did not give them hope. He only told them, in 40 days, you are finished, is what he's saying. And he could have added, and I'll rejoice. I'm standing here waiting here. See, Jonah might as well have given his message and left. He doesn't like these people. Why do you hang around? He wants to see their destruction. God have mercy. That's why he told them, 40 days, you are finished. You're overthrown. And still the people of Nineveh said, we will repent. God will have mercy. Let me tell you, praise God. When you repent, you should know God will have mercy. Doesn't matter what the preacher says. Doesn't matter what the preacher likes or doesn't like. Whether he likes you or not, doesn't matter. The God of heaven likes you. Jesus loves you. See, I hope you're seeing all these components here. Very powerful. Jonah did not give them any other option. His message is only one. God said, 40 days, you're overthrown. And he's waiting to see. You know, he knew his words were from God because he didn't leave the city. A false prophet will run away. He knew it will happen. But he made a big mistake. He forgot that the God who judged him also showed him mercy. Oh, hallelujah. The God who judged him also showed him. Saints of God, we Christians, we've got to be careful. When we live in the Lord for too long, we think God cannot forgive some people. He said, I know God is going to judge you, but pray that it will not happen. Let them repent. When I, God forbid, I hope it's very rare, but it has happened, that I've said to someone, if you don't change your ways, God is going to judge you. You know why I can say that? Because it's clear in the Bible. If this is a sin, and the word of God is clear, it will have consequences. Please be aware of that. And I say it because we love you. We don't want to see you turn against God. He will respond. If I tempt him, he will respond. But listen, remind them about the mercy of God if you repent. Jonah did not remind them about the mercy of God. He only said God will judge you. You people are finished. Your days are numbered. But thank God the king was the first. This king was a true shepherd. Oh, hallelujah. He was a true leader. God bless him. He saved his people. He saved his country. Do you want to save your people? Do you want to save your country? Do you want to save your family? Be the first to repent. Be the first to repent. Lead your people in repentance. Lead your church in repentance. Lead your family in repentance. Praise God. Live in repentance. In Jesus' name. There are some nations, there are some people, there are some families who disappeared. Among them, Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because they didn't learn how to repent. If you will continue, if your family will continue, it's because you learned the power of repentance in Jesus' name. Jonah did not make an altar call. He did not offer them any hope. But the people of Nineveh created hope for themselves. Oh, hallelujah. With God, there is always hope. Say, with Jesus, there is always hope. There is always hope. You cannot live with Jesus, walk with Jesus without having hope. He's the King of hope. He's the God of hope. That is why we are never hopeless with Jesus. No matter what happens, we get up. The God of hope is with me. So the King of Nineveh said, there is hope. I know the prophet from Israel hates us. No problem. He doesn't want to come into our city because we may offer him food. We may repent. He doesn't want it. He hates us. No problem. But his God must love us because his God sent him here. Ah, hallelujah. They must have known. Look, this guy has a rotten attitude. But why is he here? Maybe some Ninevites saw the big fish vomit Jonah out onto their country. Praise God. Who knows? Don't you think they had spies? So they must have heard the story. Okay. So this guy did not really, but God forced him. What if the story was told from the perspective of the people of Nineveh? And they listened to the captain of the ship. So his God identified him, is what you're saying? And the captain would say, yes. He did not want to go to Nineveh. He told us that he hates Nineveh. He wants y'all to be destroyed. And then what happened? Praise God. And then he must have said, you know, we almost were destroyed. This God loves you, Ninevites. Really? How do you know that? I mean, we almost lost everything. We had to throw everything out. And he was not appeased until we threw him out. And the people of Nineveh must have said, oh my goodness, is that how much the God of Israel loves us? Oh, praise God. Are you with me? Is it not possible to read the Bible from this angle? He loves Nineveh. That's why he did not leave the ship. He did not leave. You know, when somebody came and told you to repent in Jesus' name, only God knows how God forced that person to come to you, to preach to you. Think about the people who told you about Jesus. Maybe they didn't want to talk to you. Maybe they were filled with prejudice like Peter. I've learned long ago many ministers have a lot of prejudice. Thank God, Jesus is not like that. I don't know which ship Jesus almost destroyed for somebody to come to me and to tell me he loves me. Repent. Turn away from evil. You know, when I think about how God loves the people of Nineveh, he's a good God. He didn't leave the ship. He didn't leave Jonah. He didn't trust him until he came to Nineveh, because God loves him. We may lack love. We may not want to go to some people, but thank God the love of Jesus is greater than our dislike of people. The love of Jesus is greater than our prejudice against people. The love of Jesus is greater. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel his love. What a great God we serve. Hallelujah. You know, in the human kingdom, sometimes I realize I may have lost some things because of jealousy, nepotism, such kinds of things. But I know when it comes to salvation, Jesus will never allow me to lose my salvation, my blessings, my reward through human factors. He will stop Jonah. He will send a storm. He will send a fish. Why? So I repent. So I'm baptized in Jesus' name. So I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter, rise up, kill and eat. We are not discussing this. That time is over. Hallelujah. Go, get up, go to Caesarea Philippi. Amen. I have a Cornelius whom I love. Praise God. This is my God. Hallelujah. He is good. His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. So the Ninevite said, who knows? Maybe, brothers and sisters. Yeah? Who knows? What if it's true that the Ninevites knew everything about what happened? I mean, this was a superpower. Don't forget. They have spies everywhere. Do you think they're dependent only on Jonah to tell them where he has been? Praise God. Hallelujah. Today, it's like having satellites to see what is happening to this ship. Praise God. And they're following with the people throwing this man out of the ship. Everything is recorded on live satellites. Praise God. And then they see a fish swallow him. And they said, oh my goodness, the fish had him for lunch. And suddenly he's vomited onto their shore, and the satellites pick it up. And then you send the Navy SEALs and everybody to go there. And the guy disappeared. And then he's found in the city saying, yet 40 days. Let me tell you, the Ninevites may have known everything, And they knew, listen, this God loves us. He did this miracle of the fish. He did all of this. He loves us. He's not against us. Let's repent. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, he moves in mysterious ways, Brother Kalu. So, how many times have we been shocked? And we said, oh my goodness, it's Jesus who did this. This cannot be a coincidence. Look, Jesus is the engineer of everything that happens. He's the orchestra maestro of all that happens. Hallelujah. We don't believe in coincidences and incidences. No, we believe in God's, hallelujah, bringing together his good, acceptable, and perfect will. Hallelujah. That's what we believe. So the Ninevites, facing absolute annihilation, they reason the same way. Why continue in our evil ways until we die? We have nothing to lose. Let us fall into the hands of the living God. Remember the lepers in the days of Elisha? They said, listen, we have nothing to lose. Didn't the prophet say God is going to change everything? Let's go out. We're going to die here if we just sit here. And if we go to the enemy, they're going to kill us. Let's just go. And they were shocked when they were bold enough to believe in the words of the prophet. They began to feast. So the Ninevites repented. And we know what a great repentance it was. A repentance that shook heaven. Amen. When we repent, let us shake heaven. Hallelujah. They knew the judgment of God was so certain that the only logical response, if they're going to have a sliver of hope, is total abandonment to his will. Hallelujah. The most powerful incentive for repentance is the certainty of judgment. Amen. God is not a man that he should lie. And it should be also motivated by the assurance of mercy if you repent. Amen. God, it's not a matter of, can God respond? Of course he can. The question is, are we foolish enough to test him? And Nineveh, though they were truly the most violent people ever, maybe only Genghis Khan and the Mongols could compete with them. They knew when they have met their match. The God of Israel, the God of heaven, our Lord Jesus, who is manifested in the flesh. We believe every word of his. He spoke about judgment. He spoke about hell more than he spoke about heaven. Let's believe him. He told us whom to fear. Not those who destroy the body and can do nothing more. But though the one who after he's destroyed the body can throw the soul into hell. Let's fear him. That's what he said. And I fear him. I tell him often, do not send me to hell. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. O hallelujah. The king of Nineveh was the most remarkable, one of the most remarkable figures in the Bible. We don't even know his name, but his actions echo throughout eternity. He did not merely issue a decree for his people. He was the first to perform it with his people. Amen. He was among the ranks of the penitent. In doing so, he ceased to be merely a political ruler. He became a national priest. He was mediating a corporate fast before the Almighty. Hallelujah. He humbled himself. His humility gave him the moral authority to command a national fast. Imagine if he would sit on the throne and tell everybody else to repent. But he himself stepped off the throne, covered himself in sackcloth and ashes, and he commanded everyone to do the same. This was not hypocrisy. It was empathy. It was leading the way, praise God. Let us be leaders in repentance. Sometimes our preachers only want to be leaders in preaching, not leaders in repentance. God have mercy. I rebuke myself first. I condemn myself first. May God have mercy upon me. May I lead you. May you lead your family. May you, pastors, be the first to lead in repentance. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. What a great King. What a great repentance. Hallelujah. He led the nation in a covenant of renewal. His own personal humanity preceded national reformation. Years later, or years, probably, you know, I'm now uncertain about the timing, but you remember King Saul, the first king of Israel. What a contrast to the king of Nineveh. A man who never repented properly, seriously. The king of Nineveh becomes a rebuke to the king of Israel. The king of Nineveh did not outsource his repentance to the people. He took possession of it. He embodied it. He understood that the sins of the city were in part his own responsibility. Hallelujah. Let us be quick when we hear the eight words. Eight words is all it took. Not a big sermon. Not a whole day preaching. Not 3 days of conference. Eight words, and the preacher was not even visible to the king. He didn't go into the palace of Pharaoh. It was transmitted to the king. There's a prophet of Israel saying in 8 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. That was all. That was all. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Hebrew word for repentance was nacham, to sigh, to be sorry. God, when it says of God, he repented. In other words, what it's trying to convey is that when God saw the repentance, see, it doesn't mean God made a mistake, but it means that when God saw the response, he was so touched that he felt sorry for them. He felt sorry for them. Praise God. He felt sorry that he planned to destroy them. And he didn't do it. We can make God feel sorry for us. Nacham, hallelujah. It doesn't mean we may do not deserve it, but God can feel so sorry. He's so touched. Hallelujah. Because he's a God of righteousness. And when he sees people crying for righteousness, it touches them. Hallelujah. Have you been in places where you see somebody singing in holiness, preaching in righteousness, or somebody just crying on the floor and you begin to cry with them? Why? Because there's something in us which loves righteousness, something in us which loves a tradition, a lineage, an ancestry of loving righteousness. We know the sound of righteousness. We know the voice of righteousness. When it sings, when it preaches, when it cries, we're at home. Moses knew the sound of rebellion. Joshua did not. He knew that it's the sound of rebellion when he came down from the mount. God knows the sound of repentance. Hallelujah. We have a classic song. What do they call those two? Simon and Garfunkel. Not Brother Simon. These were not brothers. They were singers. Simon and Garfunkel, and they sang a song, The Song of Silence, The Sound of Silence. Very scary song, by the way. When I was a kid, I used to listen to it and get depressed. Don't listen to these songs. But you see, it began, Hello, darkness, my old friend, he says. Hello, darkness, my old friend, a depressed guy. But the point is, they know the sound of silence. Everything has a sound. And repentance has a sound. Praise God. The sound of righteousness is what we love. And for us, even the sound of silence is to meditate on the Lord. Our silence is not the silence of Simon Garfunkel. Simon and Garfunkel. Our sound of silence is, be still and know that I'm the Lord. That is the silence. But the sound, God heard the sound of repentance from Nineveh. What sound is God hearing from our hearts, from our cities, from our homes? What sound? I hope it's a sound that moves his heart, makes him feel sorry for us. Praise God. Jesus, hear the sound coming from this place today. Jesus, hear the sound of repentance from Nineveh. Jesus can tell us how it sounded. He was there. There was a time he sent his prophet Isaiah to tell Hezekiah, put your house in order. You will die. You will not live. And then God heard a sound that made him feel nacham. He felt sorry because he loved Hezekiah. See how soft God is? Hallelujah. God is so soft that he couldn't even stand a few minutes. I mean, how long does it take Isaiah to walk out of the palace? He sent him back. Listen, I can't stand that sound. I love him too much. go back quickly. Tell him I give you 15 years. Stop crying. Hallelujah. King of Nineveh, it's enough. I feel nacham. I will not destroy you. You will live. Oh, praise God. You know, some of us are living long because of the nacham of Jesus. Ah, hallelujah. Feel sorry for us, Jesus, and we will live long. Feel sorry for us, Jesus, and we will live long. May Jesus feel sorry for you. May Jesus feel sorry for me, that we may live long under his mercy. The fast that shook heaven, the sound from Nineveh that made heaven shake. Ah, hallelujah. We are not interested in trying to get the world, a doctor, the social services, our bosses, to make life better for us. All that energy is wasted. Why don't we direct our voices to the God of heaven? If he feels nacham for us, sorry for us, we will live. We will be blessed. Even a wicked king like Ahab, God felt nacham for him. And he lived despite killing a man. You say, but that's not right. Listen, leave that to God and Ahab. That is private business between them. Remember what Jesus told the apostles. What about John? And Jesus, this is nothing to do with you. You know, say whatever you want about Donald Trump. His policy is, I don't deal through the United Nations. I don't even care about the United Nations. If you want to have a deal with Uncle Sam, with the USA, you need to come here. I'm not coming to your country. Board a plane, come here. And he always takes the time. Have you noticed? He makes a little drama, but let's give credit to where credit is due. Even a somebody who is a leader of some non sorry, I've got to be careful, some unimportant land, Donald Trump treats him like, like a superpower representative. And he takes him in, let's make a deal. Because otherwise he'll put 50% taxes on you. You know, you're finished. What are you going to do? I mean, one US company can have the budget of 50 countries. You can't do anything against him. Hate him, love him, let's make a deal. In the same way, brothers and sisters, so where is he going with this? Have you become a fan of Donald Trump? No, no, not yet. But what I'm saying is there is a deal that God can make with those who repent. Does it make sense? Ahab repented. He killed a man, innocent man. But God said, when the prophet was angry, he said, have you seen how he repented? I have nacham. Let me tell you, it's not my business to tell you whether right, wrong. God is always right. My job is to get, if Ahab can get a deal, I want a better deal with Jesus. Oh, does that make sense? Praise God. Hallelujah. So the King of Kings is ready to receive you in his White House, so to speak. He will give you a good deal. Praise God. A good deal. Jesus, give us a good deal. Repent. Repent, praise God. And God will give you a deal you can't imagine. Can we repent for a moment? I've gone over time, but I feel my heart is bursting with this message. Let us not take repentance lightly. It is the foundation of all righteousness. Say foundation. The problem of Cain. The problem of Saul. The problem of Judas. What was it? Lack of repentance. Lack of repentance. God knows a good heart. God is quick to hear the sound of coming from a good heart. Let us pray in Jesus' name. Now, why don't we pray? Who knows what prayer, answer to your prayer may be blocked because of lack of repentance? Who knows if there is anger from God upon any one of us? Who knows? But today, in Jesus' name, let us follow the example of the King of Nineveh. Let us spiritually put on sackcloth and ashes. Let us humble ourselves before Jesus. Let us cry to him that he will have mercy. Let him lift his anger, his curses, his displeasure. Let's pray in Jesus. Lord Jesus, we come before your throne. Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, though we are not as many as the people of Nineveh, though we may not cry with the same passion, there's something in our hearts today, Lord Jesus. The same desire to seek your nacham, your sense of sorry, your mercy. Jesus, hear our prayers, we pray. Have mercy upon our souls, Jesus. Deliver us from your judgment, from your displeasure. Wash us white as snow with your blood again, Jesus. If there's anybody here upon whom you are angry, Jesus, you are displeased, Jesus, forgive. For your great name's sake, forgive, because it is your prerogative to forgive. And this is why they blessed you and they said, he is good. His mercy endures forever, because you forgave. It is the honor of the King to forgive, the King of Kings, the God of heaven. Forgive, Lord Jesus. Have mercy, Lord Jesus. Deliver us from our thoughts, Lord Jesus. Deliver us from our actions, Lord Jesus. Deliver us from lives that do not please you, Lord Jesus. Deliver us from wickedness, Lord Jesus. Deliver us from so many things we need to be delivered today, Jesus. Save us from ourselves, Jesus. Have mercy, Abba. Have mercy, Abba. Have mercy. Wash us white with your blood, my God. Cleanse us with hyssop, said David, and I will be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Hallelujah. Hear from your holy temple in heaven, Jesus. Set us free from that which we cannot deliver ourselves. Remake us in the image of Christ, we pray you. Oh, my God, have mercy upon us. Oh, my Lord, hallelujah, perfect that which is lacking in us, my God. Set us free, O Jesus, from pride. Deliver the captives, I beseech you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Save us from the flames of hell. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deliver us, oh, my God. Have mercy upon our souls, I beseech you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Do not overthrow these Ninevehs, we beseech you. You love Nineveh so much. You threatened a ship. You caused a storm. You commanded a fish. All because of your love. Oh, hear our prayers, my God. Hear our prayers, my Jesus. Save us. Save us from sin. Save us from offending you. Keep us on the straight and narrow road, my God. Have nacham upon your people, I pray. Nacham upon your people, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let us worship him. Let us glorify him. Hallelujah. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. We can never fully give him the praise that he deserves. A mighty God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed is the name of Jesus. Forever we bless you, my King, my God, hallelujah. We worship, we honor you. We glorify you, King of Kings. Alpha and Omega, I bless your name, hallelujah. 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 Blessed art thou forever. Blessed art thou forever. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Jesus bless you. We thank the God.